And we're back with Tab News. We are going to talk finances and preparing for retirement. I'm your host, Jennifer Rash.
And I'm your co-host, Debbie Campbell.
Our guest is Greg Love, Director of Retirement Solutions with Guidestone Financial Resources.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Hey,
it's good to be here.
Thanks for slipping away from the booth for a little bit. We have a full exhibit hall here at the Alabama Baptist Pastors Conference.
True.
And we have been going by and finding some experts in all these various different topics today. And so Greg's going to talk to us about specifically ministers preparing for retirement. So let's talk about what, gosh, that's a big topic. That's an open door.
It's a huge topic.
That's a hot topic.
So
okay.
Is the answer don't retire? Is that where we just is that the goal?
You know, Jennifer, I think retirement is a huge deal. And, you know, when I think, Debbie, as we near the end of the year, we begin to start setting goals for next year, right? That's
right.
Just something we
mm-hmm.
tend to do. And if we think about what those might be, it's things like we need to eat healthier, we need to exercise more, read more, and then, you know, typically somewhere along mm-hmm. The lines on that list is we need to save more and spend less. But if you're like me, if you'd agree to this, that we tend to fall short sometimes of keeping our commitments
right.
When it comes to those type of things. But obviously preparing for retirement has to be in the windshield for us.
You know, when you're a younger minister, I'm guessing just even from my own experience, it's really hard to project out and think about retirement. Mm-hmm. What are some good disciplines that you could suggest, some tips maybe that even though it seems so far away and it might be hard to be putting money in that account for retirement?
Absolutely.
What
sure.
are some ways to just move past that and be ready?
You know, I came across some great statistics that I think are helpful for this conversation. Number one was 50% of full-time working adults in the U.S., whether it be millennials to Gen X to baby boomers, say that they find it difficult to meet household expenses on a month-in, month-out basis. There's one finance professor that I read quite frequently, and he made this statement. He said, when it comes to retirement planning in the U.S., that there's no shortage of problems. Many people have not saved enough money for their golden years and may even outlive their assets. And so you compound the idea of somebody who's called to ministry, they've come out of college, they roll into seminary, prepare there, and then roll out to their church. Oftentimes they're not the most highly compensated individual. It's very difficult to save well and prepare well for retirement. Some of the same statistics that I saw showed that 1/3 of working adults have no savings or pension. And when I think about that, for the two of you, I think about my dad. It brings back a great story. I think about my dad, who was a firefighter for 42 years. We love firefighters. But one great thing is when he retired, he had something called a defined benefit plan. He had a pension that would bring in a monthly paycheck every month that would help provide for his needs. And so the issue is that today, defined benefit plans, pension plans are somewhat of a thing of the past. It's up to us to make sure that we save well so that we can stay on track. Brings me to a second story. I think about driving down Highway 114. I know I'm in Alabama and I'm in South Alabama here, but I live in Fort Worth, Texas, and you're driving down Highway 114.
I know Highway 114.
No,
oh, yeah. I'm from Fort Worth.
That's right. That's right.
So go ahead.
That's right. So you're driving down Highway 114 and you see the Trophy Club exit.
Okay.
And I would take that exit and I would head up the ramp, make a left, go over the bridge, and pull into this shopping center where there was a local coffee shop. And this is what's interesting, Debbie, when you think about this local coffee shop. You walk into the room, it's a high volume coffee shop. A lot of people with jet white hair, and your first thought is, gosh, I wonder if everybody was just frightened at the same time. You know, what happened? Everybody has jet white hair. They don't look like your typical barista in a coffee shop. And so you might be thinking, gosh, what's this all about? You know, I think it's the case that sometimes we may not be ultimately prepared for retirement, and we're put into a position where we have to transition to retirement, and we may have to even find additional income to make our household budget work. And so I think that's no coincidence that we see that statistics show that 4 out of 10 people have no intention of ever retiring. That's such an interesting statistic. 4 out of 10 say they never plan to retire. But
what if something happens? What if there's an illness or a disability of some sort?
I think that's a great statement, Jennifer. I mean,
wow.
Ultimately, we're all going to have to retire.
Right.
Either we're going to go home to be with Jesus, or maybe there's some changing health issues. Maybe we're not able to continue our function in our leadership or whatever position we're serving in the local church. all of us will retire, right? 4 out of 10 say they never have an intention to retire, but 100% of us will retire. So we've got to prepare well do that in a really good way. I get this question a lot, and I'll just throw this out for conversation. The question that I get when I meet with people one-on-one is they say, Greg, what's my number? You know, what do I need to have saved for retirement? It's pretty staggering. Most financial planners would say we need to save 15% or more from age 25 to 65, 4 decades worth of work, to make sure that we're in a really good spot for retirement. So 15% or more, so that we'll hit a nest egg of somewhere around 10 times our annual salary saved for retirement. So if you think about somebody making $50,000 a year, you do a factor of 10, you say, what's their number? They need to hit a nest egg of about $500,000. What about a husband and wife together making $75,000? Well, obviously $750,000. The two of them being pretty decent income earners, making above average $100,000 for a married couple, they need to hit a seven-figure account balance by the time they retire to make ends meet. So it's such a huge thing. What compounds that, a lot of times what I see and what we see at Guidestone as we work with participants all over the country from the standpoint of retirement planning, is so many times people have opted out of Social Security in their first 2 years of ministry.
I understand that's a very frequent decision made by ministers to opt out of Social Security.
Absolutely, Jennifer. And you know, there's an ethical dilemma there because you have to sign a statement that says I'm conscientiously opposed to social insurance. But a lot of times, the reason someone signs that statement isn't because they're conscientiously opposed to social insurance. They're racked with debt, they're struggling financially, they're serving in their local church, and they sign that simply because they're looking to increase their paycheck in any possible way that they can. Mm-hmm. And so they make a detrimental decision within their first 2 years of ministry, potentially jettisoning what Medicare would have provided. Can you imagine having to cash flow healthcare expenses all the way throughout your retirement with Medicare as a safety net not being there? I mean, what a dangerous, dangerous thing. And typically for the average retiree, this is huge. The average retiree, 25 to 40% of their retirement benefit or retirement income would be provided by Social Security. So potentially they may offset that and jettison that and not have that there. So regardless of somebody making a decision or whatever factor led into their decision making, if someone has opted out of Social Security, they have to make sure that they save well. So that 15% uh-huh. recommended savings rate all of a sudden becomes somewhere around 20 to 25%.
Okay.
So can you imagine? You're already struggling financially. You're potentially racked with debt. And then there's this idea of I've got to be saving 20 to 25% to retirement. Obviously, we would encourage the local church or encourage a church that is providing for their ministers and for their staff people. We would encourage them to be making an employer contribution. Typically, we would say get to a place where you're supporting your staff people by a contribution of 10% or more going to their retirement. You can structure that in several different ways, right? So you can implement a matching contribution, a dollar-for-dollar match up to 10, give them a 5% employer contribution with a dollar-for-dollar match up to the next 5. However it may be the case, the biggest deal is get them saving, get them started, and hopefully have a better outcome for ministers, which is a huge passion of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see a great retirement outcome for the pastor and his family, because it's an ever-widening circle across the generations if they don't prepare well.
So the churches definitely can help in this manner, like you were describing, mm-hmm. so they can help be an encourager.
Absolutely.
And even if the pastor's saying, no, I'm good, they really should try to enforce some of that help there with the retirement matching or something, just to provide and set them up well.
Absolutely. I heard one great piece of wisdom years ago, and it was along the lines of retirement planning, and it's somebody that had a little salt and pepper in their hair, right? And just a lot of great wisdom, some good nuggets that came out of it, and they made this statement. They said, when it comes to retirement planning, it boils down to 3 things. Number one, start saving for retirement as early as you possibly can.
Right.
Number two, increase your savings rate as often as you possibly can.
Oh, okay.
And then number three, continue saving for retirement as long as you possibly can. So start, increase, continue. It's a huge, huge thing, and it will help out with the ultimate outcome for that individual serving in a pastorate or serving on staff at a local church. What a big thing that can be.
Right.
So for a young pastor getting started,
mm-hmm.
the number one thing? We've talked about a lot of things.
Right.
So absolutely. What would be the number one thing you would highly recommend?
Yeah. Can I say six?
Six. Go for it. I was trying to give you just one.
That's right. We're always trying to multitask, and we're always trying to do multiple things at one time. And this younger generation, wow, they're so creative. Yes, they're so talented. And it's amazing the amount of things that they can manage at one time. But if we think through six things that would probably be beneficial for this conversation, I think number one is we just have to acknowledge that God owns it all. Right? God owns everything. He entrusts us with resources to manage. We need to recognize that any money that we get, any time, or any resources are ultimately God's. And we need to let that reframe and reshape the way we view money. Right? I think about Philippians 4:19 that says, Christ meets our needs. There's a financial planner from yesteryear in the Christian space named Larry Burkett who had a huge impact on me. And he said, every spending decision is a spiritual decision. Well, that's a huge thing. God owns it all. So that would be the first thing. Secondly, I think it's important to write down our financial goals, right? I drove here to South Alabama to be with you great people here in Daphne at Eastern Shore and Alabama State Board of Missions, just such great, incredible people. But, you know, we drove 12 hours with my family, packed up in a swagger wagon coming from Fort Worth, Texas. And, I didn't drive with my eyes closed.
Right.
You know, I drove looking through what? Looking through the windshield, right? So I think we have to keep our financial goals in the windshield of our life, right? Organize our ideas, create a clear vision. And what happens is we have a greater sense of follow through and a greater sense of strategy. What a great thing that is. Mm-hmm. The other thing I would say, Debbie, to that younger person is create a budget. Live on a budget. Spend less than you make, right? So many times we operate in the red, right? The average family lives on about 102, 103% of their annual income.
Right.
Well, can we be a better steward of the resources that God has entrusted to us by creating a budget? Whether that's a modern budgeting tool like Mint or youneedabudget.com or having an app on our phone, or maybe we just use a paper and pencil and a legal pad and we write out where the money's going and we try to make sure we support the local church and we make sure that we tithe and give above the tithe and those kind of things. But create a budget, monitor and track those monthly expenditures and just do a good job of that. And then I'd be remiss if number four, I didn't talk about eliminating debt.
Right.
Proverbs 22:7, the borrower is a servant to the lender. I think of debt a lot like a tourniquet, something that robs us of our potential and our ability. Mm-hmm. So to do the things that God's called us to. So can we offset and jettison and eliminate debt to move on to bigger things? One great quote was this: too many people spend money they don't have to buy things they don't want to impress people they don't like. Right? Right?
Yeah. I wasn't sure where you're going there.
That's right.
Yeah.
It is so true. So spend less than we earn. Secondly is we didn't actually overspend our budget. What we allocated simply fell short of our expenditure. We're just bad managers so many times. So can we do a good job of eliminating debt, getting that in the rear view so that we can focus on things that should be in our windshield? Number five, I'd say create an emergency fund. Right, I see so many times a pastor serving in the local church that calls and says, I've got an emergency, the air conditioner went out, I've got to buy a new car, can I take that money out of my retirement account? Why would anyone ever borrow from their future or mortgage their future for today? So create an emergency fund, make sure you've got a substantial amount of money set aside. You say, well, what's the right amount of money? You know, some people talk about having $1,000 in a baby emergency fund. You probably need more than that and get to a place where you've got at least a couple of thousand in a baby emergency fund and then work toward a fully funded emergency fund of 3 to 6 months worth of expenses. So for retirement planning, you're able to lean on your emergency fund, stay off the credit card, and not borrow from your retirement account. Rather, save, put money into your retirement account and let that grow. What a great thing that would be. And so just make sure that we've got that going, creating an emergency fund and letting that get to a place where it's fully funded. And lastly, I would just say save well for retirement, 15% or more going into retirement. And that can be a combination of employer and employee. I would tell employers, I would tell churches, get creative with the retirement plan design. So many times we just do what we've done because we've always done it that way.
Right.
Get creative. All the studies show that if we'll play with the behavioral architecture of the retirement plan, then we can get to a place where our employees are saving at a higher rate.
Oh, wow.
Because they've got to be saving 15% or more to retirement if they're ever going to be able to retire well. And so what a good thing that would
Fantastic.
Be.
Fantastic. Well, Greg, thank you so much. All right, I've been making mental notes. I'm ready to go start checking everything
out.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing.
Thanks, Jennifer. Thanks, Debbie.
We appreciate Greg Love with Guidestone Financial Resources. And I'm sure we can find more information at guidestone.org.
That's right. Two numbers would be 1-888-984-8433. My personal number, if somebody wants to contact me directly, is 214-720-2871. Email greg.love@guidestone.org. Or just go to guidestone.org and you can find us.
Fantastic. Thank you so
much. Thanks, Jennifer. Thanks,
Great.
Debbie.
Thank you.